Blog Talk Radio.
In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorney Saw, MC Red, Ice Cube, and Easy motherfucking E. Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help your black ass? You goddamn right. Why don't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say? Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad, cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit, cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. It's on in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a sale. Fucking with me, cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the plotter. Thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. See the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to take off the scene of the slaughter. Still can swirl up bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Such a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, they can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop.
Yeah, that's a little harsh, ain't it? Yeah, so is people dying and getting shot and getting paralyzed. That's harsh, too. This is K's Son and Friends. This is K's Son and Friends, so we have to act like this is my room, because my mother would tell me, stop cursing so much before this. She probably would be cursing, too. I'm Citizen Payne. You've reached K's Son and Friends. I got the fellas Wayne Gilman and Byron Saunders, but first, I play a cop a lot. A lot of you guys who listen to the show might know that I'm also an actor. And one of the things that I do, my bread and butter, is that I've always been cast traditionally as one of those black guys who play police officers. And also, too, me, naturally, probably that would be an area of employment that I would have gone into if I wasn't interested in the entertainment business. I believe in law and order. I believe in a safe and secure society. Peaceful society where people can live their lives without all the wildness of a lawless society. But what we find here in the United States is a big myth, right? This is what I've said before, that the United States, America, is kind of full of you-know-what, full of hooey, we'll say, because we had enough bad words, so I'll try to refrain from any more blue material. But considering the circumstances, if the words that I'm saying bother people that might be listening, then the message is not for you, because the message is more important than the words that I'm using to get the message across to you. So let me get back to that. America is full of it. They presented an image of how they want the world to think that we are, but America is full of it. And so the myth of the United States being the greatest country on the face of the earth because some individuals got together and wrote that down on a piece of paper and declared it to be so, self-manifestation, I guess, they declared it to be so that America would be one of the greatest planets of the countries on the face of the earth, right? They said it so they made it so. Just like how they made up the myth of America being benevolent, not killing off the Indians, the slaves being happy, and all the like. America is, when it was conquered by these individuals that came from Europe who wanted to conquer it in the name of white supremacy. That's one of the foundations of America, right? That cannot be argued, because if you look at the history, you look at the evidence, clearly that must be one of the foundations but on which this country was formed. Murder, mayhem, racism, white supremacy, murdering off the indigenous people, snatching up another people of another land, making them be the slaves, calling the people to the south of California less than human beings, acting like Mexicans don't belong in California because why ever, it was a white man's country, but it was Mexico before. All of this myth and bullshit that has gone on in the name of white supremacy. So that's one of the foundations of this society, right, of this country, white supremacy, promote white supremacy, amongst other things, life, liberty, and the pursuit of a white happiness, right, white supremacy. So when you have a force of that society,
But strangely, friends, let me go hold on. I'm going to open your mic, Byron, but I'm going to finish saying what I'm going to say. Wayne, if you're listening, maybe you could call back. But strangely, I got disconnected. Disconnected. Byron, you there, Byron? I got your mic open. Let me just finish.
I am here. Strangely,
how I got connected while I was in the middle of that. But what I was saying was, and hopefully Wayne will figure it out and call it back, what I was saying about white supremacy is that the police force used to enforce the law in America is the white supremacy police force, the white supremacy force, right? That is one of the foundations of the police officers. Look, I'm going to go open your mic too, Wayne, because I don't know how I got disconnected, but obviously talking too much truth does that, and Big Brother is always listening. But what I want to finish saying is that the white supremacy force, aka the police, that's one of the foundations. One of their foundations is to enforce white supremacy, right? Because white supremacy being one of the foundations of this country. Wayne was dropped. One of the white supremacy being one of the foundations, the foundational pillars of this country, then of course that's going to go across to all organizations of this country, right? And all support organizations, a la the police force, the white supremacy force. So that's one of their foundational principles, right? Enforce white supremacy. Look at the history. Enforce white supremacy is one of their foundational principles. So it is hard. Why do we expect that this organization, who's one of their very foundational principles, is to enforce white supremacy? Why do we expect them to change? Why do we expect them to change? In any organization, one of the hardest things to do is to change their foundational principles. So therefore, it needs to be a rethinking, a reimagining. We need to get rid of the white supremacy force, enforcement force, and have a peacekeeping force. And I want to say a lot more, but I seem to be distracted by why we keep dropping calls. Byron, you wanted to jump in here. Byron Saunders, a legendary historian. How you doing tonight, Byron?
Don't push me to the edge, because I'm about to lose my head. Okay? I'm pissed to the highest point of pissitility, my brother. Now, you don't rarely hear me go off like this, but I want to ask America a simple question. In my Constitution and my Declaration of Independence, it says I have the right, when oppressed, to stand up and overthrow the oppressor. And I want to know, because you keep telling me, don't be violent. Don't be violent. But when the other side is being violent against me, I have a right. Now, I don't adhere to violence anytime. I'm a peaceful man, God-driven. But you have pushed us to the limit. And today, I don't know if you noticed, but the gentleman, that 17-year-old white supremacist in Kenosha, the two people who got killed was killed by a 17-year-old gun-carrying Kyle Rittenhouse, who shot and killed protesters. You didn't hold this, America, because you were like, oh, we're so scared. We got rioters. We're burning white people's stuff. Excuse my French, but fuck that shit. Your white boy killed those two protesters carrying an AK-47. How did a 17-year-old guy get access to an automatic weapon at a protest and killing two protesters? Now, you're not going to hear the GOP tonight engage any of this. Time to stand up, people. Time to get back at it. Because at the point at which, when you tell me now's not the time for violence, I agree. But at the point at which, when do explain to me when violence is necessary?
All right. And Wayne, we got our legendary newsman, Wayne Gilman. Wayne, you want to put in your thoughts here?
Hey, man, I am so frustrated, you know? I've been trying to be hopeful about a lot of things, especially after witnessing the Democratic Convention last week, the new and improved way of doing, well, I wouldn't say improved, but the new way of doing things, the virtual convention. And, you know, trying to stomach the last two nights of what the Republican response has been, and on the precipice of what Byron was just talking about, it sickens me. This thing's to high heaven. And what bothers me even more, not just that he was a 17-year-old allowed to walk around with that AK-47, but in the presence of policemen. It wasn't like this went down in a vacuum. There was evidence of Wisconsin or Kenosha police, law enforcement authorities were there when he started to shoot. So, you know, you just have a feeling that there's a conspiracy. And I was watching the news this evening, and I saw a clip with Doc Rivers, you know, legendary ball player. In fact, he used to share the mic with us at WLIB with your mom back in the day. And it just, you know, it hurt. I could see the anger, and I could see the emotional tears in his face, and just basically expressing his outrage over what's going on. And I guess this is the thing that really bothers me, because they're constantly talking about their whole projection the last two nights is about us moving into their community. They had that couple, the two attorneys that in Michigan, and they were protecting their property. But I come to find out after some closer investigation about their behavior that they've been known to brandish guns when they don't like something going on. They knew protesters weren't going to their house, but this is just seems to be part and parcel of what the Trump game plan is. And there's so much deceit. It's bad enough that we got to worry about this vote because what the Postmaster General did in the last month or so to change the playing field. And then we have this nonsense right on the heels of George Floyd. You know, his body hasn't been in the ground long enough yet to say that we've healed from that. And this poor man, you know, shot in the back seven times in front of his children. And he's useless now. Severed spine. The rest
not
of
useless.
His life.
Not useless.
I mean, I'm saying useless. I don't mean in a derogatory
sense. Right, right, right.
You know,
right,
I think it's unfortunate what happened. But the bottom line is that, you know, when you are rendered disabled for something you didn't do, when you are going along with what they require, and they, you know, their aim was to take this man's life, and he stopped to break up a fight. You know, he walked back to his vehicle. He told them he had a knife on his floorboard. He didn't reach for the knife. He was cooperating with him. But seven shots? What prompted that? Somebody having a bad day? You know what I mean? What was that about? I'm driving home now, and I worry about if, God forbid, somebody, you know, from the local law enforcement, whether it's in New Rochelle or the Bronx or whatever, pulls me over because I'm talking on the phone. You know, I mean, it comes down to something like that. You walk out, you don't know if you're coming back the way you left.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm convinced that the only thing that the dominant culture, these racists and white supremacists, understands white supremacy America, and I refer to it like that because the fact that it will not leave my brain of the white vote not going to a Democrat since 1964 when Lyndon Johnson pushed through and signed the Civil Rights Bill or Amendment or whatever. And so I can only assume, that being the case, that the majority of white America is falls somewhere in the category of believing in or perpetuating or enabling white supremacy. And I can only assume that they're supporters of that. So when people ask me to look at stuff and look at America and look at, you know, when is it going to have, when are we going to live up to the Constitution? And that's great that you guys say that, and that is the way that we make these people live up to their very words or the utterances of their very ancestors. But what we see is that their willingness to change the rules at the drop of a hat, not even to stick to their own word, their own proclamations, their own declarations, if you will. All we have to do is look at how the Republican Party, not even talking about how they see a different America, because clearly they're full of racists. Clearly, when they talk about the suburban moms, I'm going in a different direction of where I wanted to go. I'm going to get back on track. But when they talk about suburban moms, they talk about them because 52% of white women voted for Donald Trump in 2016 and then happily went out to the Women's March and were happy with it, acting like it was okay. So when you have the majority of white people are racist or racial or certainly believe in white supremacy, preferred white citizenship, then what are we to believe? So, and how do we approach that? So to me, the only way to do that is the only thing these people understand is power and money. Power and money is the only thing that they understand. And I'm really glad to see today that the Milwaukee Bucks, and I hope all other black athletes, stop playing sports, stop entertaining America. Really, the biggest thing is stop adding to the economic engine of this country, which allows, A, all these corporations to get paid, all of these colleges to get paid, all of these stockholders that have stocks in these companies that advertise through athletics and make money to get paid. And I would venture to say that the majority of all three people – of people in all three of those categories, the majority of individuals are probably not back, and the majority of individuals in all three of those categories are probably believers in white supremacy. And so
we need to decide and use
our power where we can and stop contributing to their pocket. Stop making it possible for them to make money off of us while they are oppressing us. And as the you mentioned about the kid, Byron, the shooting in there,
yes.
Right? Everybody knew, it was clear, obvious that guy must have been a counter-protester because all the other protesters were chasing him. And a bigger thing to point out is that the protesters don't bring long guns to protest Black Lives Matter or protest the cops killing someone. It was only that's open carry state, and clearly the kids can be young enough to get guns. That's the dude who came to start some stuff. And then when people started jumping on him is when he started shooting people. And then when he runs to the cops, they don't stop. They don't pull him over. Why? Because it's an open carry state, but more importantly, it's a white boy open carrying a gun. Because we've all seen those videos and those experimental videos. All you got to do is go to YouTube and type in black guy carrying a gun, white guy carrying a gun, where they did an experiment of that in Texas in an open carry state, where the white boy was walking down the street carrying an AK. And the cops weren't saying nothing, slung over his shoulder. But when you saw the brother walking down the street carrying the same AK, the cops hopped out the car, pointed the gun at him, told him to lay on the ground with his face on the ground in an open carry state where it's legal for you to carry a gun like that. So,
what
it is.
You know, when I hear this and the fact that this happened in front of the police and they did nothing, they knew if he was walking with a gun, he was up to something. But it takes me back to, I don't know, you guys are, well, I'll just speak for myself, 1969, when the Black Panthers confronted Ronald Reagan at the State House with their guns drawn because they got sick and tired of the nonsense that we're going through today 40 years later, you know, and that prompted a change. I'm not one
to espouse
Black
Lives Matter. That caused them to change the law
in
California about open carry. That caused them to change that open carry law in California. That's when they rewrote the law.
There you go. And I, you know, I don't know what the answer is anymore. I'm speechless.
You know, I think we hit on something today that shows the strength and power that we do have. And the Milwaukee Bucks, and I'm gonna look a challenge to every athlete in pro football, baseball, basketball, hockey, even curling. If you got money and you're out there performing for white people who are mostly have those season tickets, you can shut this mother down because you're the one who's popping up the billion-dollar contracts that they're giving to the television stations and make it known that other than Byron Allen, we don't own a major television station. We get the contracts from the advertising. And you athletes in college, step up your game. Because you're being used and you're nothing but a nigga.
Yeah.
And you want to shut this down? You can shut this down tomorrow. And all you artists who like, come on, Sam Jackson, you make $20 million a picture. Come on, Denzel, you make $20-some million a picture. You're controlling an industry right now because of your talent. Now you know what? You shut down, the industry shuts down. And this is the time, people. This is not the time to stand like Herschel Walker and his son. Negroes.
Don't even mention the name.
I mean, you know, Herschel Walker.
He's
personal.
The reason why. He is the very reason why his contract shut down the burgeoning league that was trying to set up the breakaway from the NFL. Remember that his contract was who? The New Jersey Generals. And who's the owner of that team?
Donald
Trump.
And you're saying his contract did what now? You're saying his contract with Trump did what?
With the New Jersey Generals helped to shut that league down because he bankrupted it.
Oh, because he paid Herschel so much money, you mean?
That's right.
Yeah, I remember. Right. I'm trying to remember that.
So
I remember when that happened.
Power. Remember, every week you ask me to talk about the power that we have. And now you have been a witness to an industry that listened to the Milwaukee Bucks and canceled an entire game tonight, and the baseball is canceled it. But you know what? Y'all can shut all this thing down immediately because you're helping to fuel the racism in this country.
Not to cut you guys off, but this is one of the reasons why I was so angry earlier today. When I started to digest the last couple of nights of what I witnessed and saw what was nothing more but a damn minstrel show, you know, that they figured out a way to try to attract blacks of notoriety, whether they're local, because they can't get the superstars, so they got to get, you know, the people who are just on the mediocre level to come out and say things. And talk bad about what the Democrats have not done, and the black Republican Attorney General of Kentucky talking about he has a mind of his own, that he doesn't need the Democrats to tell him how to handle his business and handle the affairs of the state. He says all this, and yet the Breonna Taylor case is not even solved yet. Can't bring any of them officers, he's head of the state law enforcement there, and there's not even a peep last night about, you know, what was going on with that case. And, you know, it bothers me when I see us used that way, and we know better. We have to know better, you know?
Yeah, but that's, there's always been sellouts.
No,
I know. I mean,
yeah.
We're not even focused. We don't even need to focus on them because they've chosen their lot. They've chosen their lot. And look what happened to Herman Cain, you know? He chose to roll with them, and that's what happened. And every single one of those people that get up there, you know, I expect to hear Nikki Haley talk about racism doesn't exist in this country, because you know, she can pass. She can look like a dark skinned white girl. She can look like a white girl with a perpetual tan. You know, it's nice that she said the Confederate flag was a symbol of hate and whatever. But you know, enabling this guy and standing up there. And really, you can look at the Republican Party. You can look at blame the Republican Party for the derailment of this country. They've turned the White House. I mean, forget about the whole thing about the ethics of using the White House in a political imagery and in political circumstances. That's always been a no-no. But these people. They laugh at that. They kind of snickle. I was watching the news earlier. Joy Reid, she's like, "Yeah, Mark Meadows." They chuckle at that. They don't have the integrity of living up to their own standards. This is what I'm talking about. This is like 1950 when you have the all-white jury convicting and sentencing black people to death at the whim of the hat, anytime they felt like it. These people. They have no integrity. They have no problem with making up the law. It's not breaking the law to them because they make it up as they go along, and so therefore they can break it. They can break it as they see fit, anytime. Anytime that you have a candidate that stands up there and says, "I can shoot someone in the middle of the street and not get arrested, and still get elected." Just to even phrase that, to even think in that thought pattern, when you're talking about public service, everything that they've promoted about public service and about the whole kind of higher purpose, it's all BS. It's all BS. Most of these people, they're full of it. They're completely full of it. Go ahead.
A couple of weeks ago, I said, and y'all kind of poo-pooed me a little bit, but that's okay because I understood where we were a couple weeks ago. But I said, Nancy Pelosi, Congress, you hold the purse strings. They have committed murder. The GOP right now is in a convention in which a third of the speakers are convicted felons. Nancy, Chuck Schumer. Yeah. You can shut this insanity down right now. You have the constitutional authority. I've been reading my Constitution today, guys. I've been reading it, and it says.
What are you saying they can shut down?
That's right. They can shut it down.
What can they shut down? Make it clear.
They can shut the funding off. They have the purse. She holds the purse strings. They're paying for this insane play of whatever you want to call it last night, a reality show where the first hoe gets out there in the garden. That was every first lady has been planting a piece in that garden, and she's turned it into an all-white garden. That should tell you something. And she's standing up there, can't even speak good English.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And the nerve to bring up the middle passage.
Talk about the Hatch Act. The Hatch Act says you can't do this. So where are we standing in the rule of law? Because if the rule of law suggests that we have the authority to arrest them, to put them in jail, try them for treason, he's already committed treason. He's already been impeached. Now he's got murder on his tag. How much more are you waiting for? You shot a person 7 times for what? Walking away from you, and you're going to give him the authority to be your executioner, judge, jury, and executioner? He's supposed to be a public servant.
Mm-hmm.
We have laws that we're supposed to be living by. But the Congress is not doing its duty. Now, I suggest that one of the things that I will compliment the Democratic Party for, because right now, other than this crap that the GOP is throwing out there for the last 3 nights, I will say this publicly, the Democrats up until this moment have been controlling the medium and the message. Make no mistake about it. That senatorial release last week of the Judiciary Committee in which they confirmed without a single doubt that the Trump administration and his campaign committed treason and collusion. It wasn't a Democrat who said that. That's a Republican thing. What more do
it
you
was
want
bipartisan.
Congress?
Exactly. Yeah.
So shut it down. Shut this mother down right now. And if you don't do it, you know what? I'll tell you what, the next thing you're going to see, you're going to see some death squads in our community. And when and it won't be on televised unless you, and I can tell you, because we have been, we have railed against the insanity of the Afghan and the terrorists that we call terrorists. You know what? But I asked the question again that I started off with. When is it right to be violent? If you're being oppressed and violated by violence, you have a constitutional authority to react and take charge, and it says you can take this country down. Read the Constitution, people. Stop being played, because you have authority. You got power.
That's what all those. That's allegedly what all those militias are for, right? But
that's right.
That's what. That's supposedly
so
what a militia is for. But we know that we've got the militias.
We've got
white supremacists. Hold on, bro. We got militias, right? And that's what the militias supposed to be for. Except we got white supremacist militias. So let's play it out a little bit, because still, allegedly, we're still only 13% of the population, right? Allegedly, I think we're more of the population than that. I'm pretty sure that we are. And judging how this country has handled things over the years in regards to black people, I'm like 90% sure that we're more than 13% of the population, obviously, because they keep locking us up and trying to lock us in jail, right, our young men. And so what is the recourse? Well, you're saying take action. So in the course of all of these actions that they are taking, illegal actions, unethical actions, Byron, you're saying that the Congress has the purse strings. So, and that's what I've been asking myself, what's the consequence? What can we do to stop it? So if you can break it down, you know, break it down like you're teaching people, not just saying you can, you could, what would be the processes and what is it based on that we can stop a lot of the lawlessness that's going on now from a constitutional standpoint?
They can actually foreclose on every one of those. That's what the foreclosure is really all about, isn't it? You can't pay the bill?
So they can foreclose on what? I'm asking you, what would be the process?
Congress has the authority to write the checks. That's why we have the three branches of government as checks and balances.
So writing the check to where would cut off what? Let's break it down. Now you're talking high in the pie. Let's do it by the numbers.
Congress writes the checks for the legislative initiatives. They are the people's house. The Senate does not control the purse strings.
So they write the checks, right? They cut off a check to where? To what? Break it down is what I'm asking you to do.
Everything.
You're talking theory.
Because the Constitution suggests that in dereliction of duty in the executive branch, they have the right to remove them. And by removing them and stopping the flow of money for any war, you know, how much money have they taken out of Social Security for the war?
I don't know. But what I'm asking you is, what would be the steps? Talk,
how much
break
money
down
does,
the steps for
the
us that don't
that
know
is
what I'm asking you. You're talking about,
not,
you give me a speech. To,
the post office is not funded by Congress. The post office itself makes money. Social Security, it makes money. But when you take money from Social Security and you take money from the post office service and you apply it to weapons of destruction and giving the military 65 cents out of every tax dollar that's driven.
Right,
you're
taking that money out and
you're
putting it in another line item. What I'm asking you is, what is the process? Step one is this. We're talking at the same time. Step one is this. Step two is that. What is step, if we're going to do it, if you're going to, like, say we're a congressman, right? And you say, okay, let's take these measures to stop this. what would the measures be? Don't give me a speech about the Constitution is supposed to, and this is what it does. Tell me how that's done. Like we're changing a tire. Tell me what to do next. Take me step by step.
How it's done is this. The Congress right now is run by the Democrats. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The House.
Now, the Democrats are in control of funding everything.
Okay.
Now, if you're in control of the money and you're not going to let money come out, let's just say in your community, you, Eric Payne, are in control of the purse strings that helps to support your community.
Right.
You shut
Got
down
it.
The funding. That community will starve and
right.
die.
That's theory,
now
brother. I'm asking you step to step. Stop the mayor, hold on, because you keep giving me theory and kind of concept as opposed to step by step. So then, okay, we're going to cut off their funding. Which branch, which department would we address to cut the funding off to keep this president from doing lawless shit? That's what I'm asking you. Not like you got the Constitution, so the Constitution says, break it down for me, brother. That's what I'm saying. And for people who don't know, because I generally don't know, what would be the process?
You shut down the funding. If you're in control of the purse strings, not Mnuchin. Mnuchin is not in charge of the purse strings. He's the Secretary of Treasury. He operates on behalf of the Congress. Not the Senate, the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
You restrict him from all funding. All funding. Okay? And when you do that, because it's just like right now with the NBA, they're going to lose money if the boys stop playing, like we just said, they can shut this down quickly.
The only thing I have with that. But Byron, you're saying Congress,
but the Montgomery bus boycott. That's a primary example. The Montgomery bus boycott.
We got all that. We got all that. We got concepts. We got all of that. Go ahead, Wayne. Because we're asking process.
Two legislative branches of Congress. There's the House and the Senate. So you're saying because we are in greater numbers in the House, we can effectively try to shut things down by closing their ability to have any spending going on. But the bottom line is, you still need the vote from the Senate, and the Republicans are in position to counter. That's why we're waiting until November just to change the lay of the land here, because they're still a minority. These people who are running the country don't have a colossal lion's share of support. What's happening is that, in my opinion, there's too much misinformation going on out there, and people are confused. And if we don't do the right thing, you know, this is why Pelosi was reluctant to bring about impeachment, because she figured this was as far as it was going to get. You know, the Republicans in the Senate were spineless. So the only thing left now, I mean, you just said the Intelligence Committee came out with that 1,000-page report last week showing that there was corruption. He still rules. He doesn't play by the rules. And this is the one thing Biden has to worry about, because there's no ethics with them. They don't give a damn. And they're ready for a war. You know, they're already, you know, the guy said that, you know, if they can validate that he lost fair and square, then he's willing to walk out of there. He's primed already to run past this election. He tried with the postal workers. All right, I give Pelosi and the Democrats big props for straightening that matter out. But we still got the CARES Act, and we still got this double standard. There are people out of work, and they're talking about what they've done for black folks. You know, had the nerve to even reference the little freaking passes last night like she was there, you know, because she went on a vacation. You know, I mean, it's just nonsense.
I'm
talking about that Melania Trump during her speech.
She referenced the middle passage.
Yeah, you know, trying to act like as if she's so knowledgeable about what suffering we've gone through as people. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at that, and it took them 3 nights to bring up the pandemic. I give her credit. She showed more emotion than he has throughout this whole damn thing. So, I mean, I agree, you know. I mean, with the sports and entertainment, yeah, we can cut their asses to the point.
Well, that's how it's done.
You know,
I mean, and that's why, you suggest the same thing, to hit them where it hurts. No college
right.
is a big thing. And the reason why I was asking and trying to pin you down on that, Byron, is because I'm wondering myself, what can we do to stop this? Because there seems to be no check and balance. And we know that we talk about Congress, yes, but the Senate is the Senate is referred to as the upper house, right? So therefore, they can clearly, and they clearly have been, Mitch, has been blocking every effort that the Democrats have come out, that a Democratic majority House Congress has come out with. McConnell has been blocking all of that stuff. They're the upper house, and also when you have a president that's down with you, they can very easily block it. That's why they want to bring, they're talking about bringing an end to the filibuster, because that's how they've been blocking and stalling things. And also, let's remember that the reason that the Mitch, one of the things that Mitch does know and he's aware of, and a lot of senators are aware of, they serve 6-year terms. So they can theoretically kind of wait some stuff out or wait for the heat to go away from some things, right? Which is basically what Mitch McConnell is trying to do. He's trying to wait for the heat, even though he's up for an election year.
Well, he's up for re-election, I was just going to say.
He's up for re-election this year, but before that, he was trying to wait for the heat to die down in some cases. That's why he was there able to support a lot of these efforts by Donald Trump. That's why a lot of these senators that were in purple districts were able to roll with Trump, because they got in, and for the next 6 years, they were going to be cool for the next 6 years, not to just go against probably what the majority of their district is asking or has sent them to the Senate for. And let's remember, each state equally gets 2 senators. So, you know, you got a red or a blue state. I'm pretty sure a red or blue state means primarily focusing on the Senate as opposed to the Congress, right? Because you got more than one representative in the Congress. I mean, a state could have more than one congressional representative, more than 2, potentially, depending on the population. But each state equally gets 2 senators. So, and I'm just speculating here that I'm assuming that whenever they refer to a state as being a red or blue state, they're talking about its senatorial kind of a leaning as opposed to its congressional leaning. And so, you know, once again, the only way to hit it is through the athletics and through things that they love the most, you know. And I think that, us rolling back to the Bucks, giving big ups to the Bucks, but also I think this is the way for a lot of black athletes to go. And also I'd like to see a lot of these black high school athletes getting ready to go to college have a moratorium on going to these white schools. They should all focus on going to HBCs.
I don't know if you just heard, but the WNBA, they're talking about canceling the season. The Celtics, the Clippers, and I want to say the Lakers. I saw LeBron James, but there's going to be a wholesale shutdown, and I think that you know, instead of going out there marching and protesting, we've got to have something that we proposed 30, 40 years ago, is like a day where we don't do anything, where the economy is so hurt because we're not shopping in their stores. It's bad enough that we can barely function under the circumstances that we're faced with this pandemic. But, you know, that's the only thing that we have left.
Well,
that's what I suggested,
a day of absence, Byron. Byron, why don't you talk about what a day of absence, the play by Douglas Turner Ward, talks about? Because
what
we need, a day of absence.
Before I talk about the day of absence, I just want to put this out there about the economy. It was noted today that the economy and the S&P, the only reason why the economy and the stock market is still holding is because of the tech industry.
Right.
Otherwise, this economy has tanked to a recession. You take away the tech stocks, and you don't have a stock market that's booming. Okay? That's number one. Now, let's go back to Day of Absence. I love it. Douglas Turner Ward wrote a play. What would happen? What would happen if all the black people just disappeared from a town? Just disappeared. Where'd they go?
Yeah.
Because the town would ultimately not be able to sustain or survive. No more housemaids, no more mothers, black women having their titties sucked by white babies, no more cleanup of the garbage and pickup, because we know all the folks who are in that industry are mostly black folks, and now we got a lot of Mexicans out there doing what used to be the maids, the butlers, and the yard work, okay? But what would happen? Think about it. If all the black people with me and Wayne and Eric and all of us just picked up and disappeared, that's what Day of Absence is really all about. It's a very funny play. I've seen it several times, and it still resonates today because at some point, you know what? That's what the bus boycott kind of did in Montgomery. All right?
We exactly.
Stop patronizing them. Stop giving them our money.
And
that's what we're going
to
have to do with the lucrative business. Atlanta, Georgia, yes, you got Tyler Perry down there, but if Tyler Perry stopped producing movies and we say to them, there are no more Black Panthers coming out of his studio, because you know that money that they generated, the billions of dollars for Black Panther, most people don't realize that 80% of that film was shot at Tyler Perry Studios.
So we want to keep that money coming in. You want to keep the best course is no contributions to the white supremacist mechanism. Any money that we can make that doesn't contribute to that mechanism, of course, will be welcome. And of course, Tyler Perry Studios, obviously.
Here's what's gonna happen, guys. You know this for a fact. If we don't play the sports, we don't buy we're not the season ticket holders, so they are literally coming out there to watch us beat up on each other. Okay, that's basically what it is. And since especially in the NFL and the NBA, we control the boards. We really are. We're the marquee players, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I, with all due respect to Tampa Bay, Tom Brady keeps standing up for Trump, and what one of them 300-pound boys that's in front of you make a block.
Yeah.
And then stand over the top of yourself. You might want to take a knee the next time we do the sing the anthem. Okay, Tom? Because right now, how old is he? Damn near 40? That broken bone
is
going to last a long time.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. You know, that's Michael Jordan.
These boys coming up now, they don't care about you and your money and why that you've won 5 Super Bowl rings. All they know is that you are insulting their intelligence. You're insulting our community, you know. And at some point in locker room, you better look over your shoulder, because I can guarantee there will be a tag on your back.
Well, probably from whatever defensive players that might decide to take issue with that, you know, I could see a couple of brothers really teeing off a little bit, depending. But you know, Tom Brady too is another is his whole situation to me is another myth. But that's just how I feel about him. I mean, he's a good quarterback, but obviously he got the benefits of a white.
Nothing away from him. Yeah.
Say it again.
No, it's talent, but what are you saying, Eric?
I'm saying he gets the benefits of a white supremacist society.
All
of his accomplishments get extra exalted. All of his accomplishments get extra attention paid to it. Oh, isn't it? You know, and when you have, you know, early on when, for whatever reason, ESPN decided to have Rush Limbaugh in with Chris Berman and Tom Jackson and Keyshawn. You know, remember that experiment for whatever Republican executive producer was running ESPN, that particular football show at the time, and they wanted to put Rush Limbaugh in with the guys. And Rush promptly did his racist thing, talking about Donovan McNabb not being a decent quarterback, and the whole thing about black quarterbacks was an issue or was overrated or something. He made it racial. I'm sure you guys remember that whole experiment.
We were not competent to handle quarterbacks.
It goes to my point how they always exalt their accomplishments over everything in a white supremacist society. The Negro Leagues, right? Try to ignore the brothers, ignore the brothers, ignore the brothers until they couldn't ignore them anymore. The brothers were so good, so incredible that they couldn't turn their back. They had to turn around and see what was going on because they saw how people were cheering. Bill Russell, so good, so good, but they still didn't want Bill Russell to live in their neighborhood. Player coach winning championships, never done before, but they still didn't want Bill living in their neighborhood. So the only thing that these people understand, the only thing that they recognize is power, and we don't have that yet. But so we need to play a strategic game on how we're going to get that power. That's why they want to bring down, you know this, Byron, we talked about this before. That's why a lot of these representatives, when they're down in D.C., talk about cutting government spending and cutting the government waste.
Yeah.
Because when you walk around the Capitol building complex and all the buildings that service the government in the United States in Washington, D.C., one of the main type of people you see working in the support jobs, working in the, quote, frontline jobs are black people, black and brown people. Because when the federal government, made it a law that it was illegal to discriminate in hiring, the federal government had to be the first one to live up to that. So that's why there's so many black people that work within the federal government, able to make a decent middle class living. But what the Republicans do, right? They talk about how much waste it is, how much too much money government spending, so they don't want to cut back because they're walking around seeing too many black people getting paid. Back to white supremacy, right?
And you're
right. Oppression of black
people.
Guess
what? The post office hired more black people in federal government jobs than anybody else.
That's right.
We put a middle class working in the postal. In fact, in Washington, D.C., if you weren't working with any of the other federal government agencies, the one place you could get a job on the plantation was post office.
Hey, my dad came to this country, fought in World War II, couldn't get a job at RCA for something he was trained for, to be an electronics technician. He spoke with an accent, served World War II, finally found work at the post office, and for 40 years, he raised the five of us on PO money, you know?
And
the story goes on, you know?
Here's something to think about. You in the congressional hearings a couple days ago with the post office general, Mr. whatever his name is, he's sitting
DeJoy,
he doesn't even know the cost of a damn postcard. He doesn't even know the cost of a postcard, and he's supposed to be in charge of the damn post office. He sat there in that chair and admitted.
The guy's invested in services that would compete with the post office, and also too, he sounds like he's, you know, he's got that kind of cadence to his voice.
Well,
Trump and all these
anything else, because look at the commercial. Every one of those commercials that the post office is running, what do you see in the back of that truck? Amazon. I guarantee it. It's a subtle message, but in every one of those commercials showing the post office, and they lift up and you see a box, and that says Amazon. And all this is not about reducing just voter suppression. This is going after Jeff Bezos, because Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post.
Right.
And Trump.
Hey guys, we've got four plus minutes to go, just under 5 minutes. I briefly want to talk about what you guys thought about Joe Biden's speech, because last we spoke was the night before that he gave his acceptance speech, and I thought that it was one of his, probably one of his best speeches of his life, and I thought that he hit all the right notes. I thought that that was the type of speech that we wanted to see from Joe. Also, Kamala's speech was great too, but Joe being the one we're talking about running for president.
You know what
really
it reminded me of, Eric? It reminded me of FDR and the fireside chats, because back, remember, you have to go back in history. The reason why those fireside chats really worked well is because he was selling Social Security, he was selling WPA, he was selling programs to bring America back from the Depression, and in the process, which Republicans then and now create called socialism, okay? And Joe's speech was reminiscent of coming into your living room and talking to you truth and facts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brilliant concept, and I take out my hats off to whoever wrote the script for the Democrats. That was an Emmy Award-winning program.
The whole week. They can't.
That's right.
In fact, you know, Trump is so preoccupied with ratings, I understand that their ratings are poor in juxtaposed
absolutely
to what the Democrats did.
Yeah.
Poor.
You know, I was going to say, a lot of people talked about, you know, one of their main attacks on Joe is the, you know, his mental capacity, when clearly he's got a greater mental capacity than Donald Trump. People don't realize, you know, and you guys know this as well as I do, that for someone to be an elected official, you have to, if you're not smart going into that, you're going to get smarter because all of the issues
mm-hmm.
that you have to be aware of, because all of the reading that you have to do, because all of the things that you have to think about while being an elected official. So, short of an individual really going senile or getting older or losing the step, those dudes have a lot of information, and they're very smart individuals. And I saw that the very last Democratic debate with Joe and Bernie. It was a good debate between the two of them, talking about ideas and concepts and policies. And that was the final tune-up for Joe. A lot of people, you know, when Joe first came out, it was rocky. But, you know, that's part of the training camp. That's the political training camp. Your primary is your training camp. And we train hard at our training camp. You see how people went after him? People tried to, you know, they tried to talk about Kamala, you know, in the interview the other night with Robin and the other guy. Talk about, well, you went after Joe and you guys are working together. How's that working out? She was supposed to go after him. She made him a better candidate, you know? And so
mm-hmm.
now Joe's in fighting form and he's ready.
Yeah.
And I look forward to that debate. And I look forward to the debate with Kamala and Mike Pence. So I've talked all 90 seconds, gentlemen. I'm sorry about that. But I wanted to talk about
Thank
Joe.
You, Eric.
And no problem. What you sending off to the peoples there, Brother Wayne Gilman? Tell the peoples how
all
you feel.
All I can say,
so
man, we have to plan the vote. That's it. We got to, you know, this is no joke. We have to perform this November. Get the stuff in the mailbox, and if not the mailbox, the Board of Elections, wherever you live, make sure your vote counts.
That's right. There it is, Brother Wayne Gilman. We'll talk to you again. We're going to do another episode before the week is out, so we'll talk to you again, Brother Wayne Gilman. Byron Saunders, legendary historian. What do you want to leave the folks with as the horror show is getting ready to come on TV?
All right, make this message very short and sweet. If you're not part of the solution, remember this, you are the problem.
There it is. That's straight and to the
Keep
point.
We love all of you.
We'll talk to you again, Brother Byron. This has been Kay's Son and Friends. You know, we are passionate about our people and about the liberation of our people. And those two brothers are brothers that have been around for a long time and have seen it all. And, you know, we got to talk like it needs to be talked. I'm Citizen Payne, Eric Citizen Payne, Kay's son. This is Kay's son and friends. Hit us again. We'll be talking again. We're going to keep watching these other guys, all right? Talk to you again. Blog Talk Radio, Kay's son and friends. We'll talk to you again soon. To the